guys.
That sounded like the start to a YouTube video, but slay.
Yeah.
Are you Bethany Moda now?
Oh my God, is she still doing YouTube? I forgot about
I
her.
have
She was
no
like peak
idea,
middle
but
school. It was like
no,
her, Jenna
literally.
Marbles.
I
It was
loved
peak
her.
middle
Her
school.
like collection at Aeropostale like slayed my life.
Yes, she was like Aeropostale. Like that's like that. The time of my life that I shopped there is the time of my life I
Same.
watched her.
I can't believe
And
like the
her
time
like
in our lives when
fall
everyone
lookbook.
shopped there and now no one like doesn't even
Yeah.
really. And
I
then
had
it
so
went
many
away and then it
shirts
came
that said
back. I don't
Aeropostale
even
on
know.
them. Yeah, it was like all of their clothing had to say Aeropostale. Like they couldn't just like make a shirt. It had to
No,
have,
literally.
it was
It's
just
kind of the
like
same thing with
different ways.
Hollister, honestly.
Yeah.
And like
And
Abercrombie.
Abercrombie. But like, do people really shop at those places anymore? I don't know.
I'm pretty sure in like the US they have like different in like the US they have different stuff. But the funny thing is they have Aritzia in the US, but it's
Yeah.
not as popular. So sometimes I'll see people buy stuff and people and other people just didn't know the store existed in the US.
Well, yeah, the
It's
US
so
have like
popular here.
they when I went to New York in January, they had like huge sales on at Aritzia. There's never sales here because so many people
Yeah.
want it and they're like, we can get so much money. So
They
I
have
got to
like
get
the
some
that
at
end of
like
year one.
the, yeah, it was like their winter sale and I got stuff that like would not have been on sale here, which was very nice.
Love that for you. Okay, guys. So there's been some fun stuff that's gone on in pop culture this week. I just saw,
Yeah.
yeah, the Miss Marvel trailer's out.
Yeah,
It
it was
looks
really good.
very, yeah, like it looks like it's for a certain like demographic, but I'm
Yeah,
still gonna
which was
like
the
watch
point.
it. Yeah, because
Yeah.
I feel like
Like
it's for kids to know that, like, because obviously you got that representation in the show. I feel like it's good for
Yeah.
young kids to see themselves on screen. So even if it's not like specifically targeted at adults,
Like
I feel like it's
adults.
important. Yeah, it's important for like
Still gonna watch it
representation
and
to
love it.
be. Oh, same. But
Yeah.
there's been the controversy that's been about the show is that apparently in the comics, Miss Marvel's powers are like for her to be kind of stretchy. And they fully changed
Yeah.
her powers in the show, and people are kind of pissed off about it.
Yeah. I like watched a YouTube video about it because I like never really read the comics. So I didn't know. And
Me
I watched a
neither.
video. Like in the comics, she is like a she basically is like what's called an Inhuman, which if you watched Agents of Shield, you know what that is. I love that show. It should have gotten more recognition, but anyways, Marvel like hasn't really like the MCU hasn't introduced like the Inhumans. They're kind of like X-Men. Hasn't really like where it's like in their genetics, they haven't really introduced them as like a species. They're basically like these people where they get this like crystal mist gets like released and they basically go into this cocoon and then the cocoon breaks
Crystal
apart.
mist? That sounds
Yeah,
pretty. It
it's
sounds
like
like a
they like
perfume
take a
brand.
crystal and like smashes on the ground and then it releases this mist. And if you are an Inhuman, then the mist like will give you powers, but if you're just like a regular old person, it will like turn you into stone.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so her character in the comics is an Inhuman. She like gets like someone like releases the mist into like a neighborhood or a city or something, and she like cut gets in the mist, and then her when she is out, they like get cocooned basically, and then they all of the like stone like breaks off of them, and then they now have like powers, and they're like whatever. But
Wow.
so her powers are like, oh, she can like embiggen parts of her body, like her arm, her leg, yeah, like not like really stretchy, but more like she can punch and her fist will get really big, and like she can like headbutt someone and her head will get really big, like that kind of stuff. And from the YouTube video that I watched, though, because Marvel hasn't introduced Inhumans, they kind of like needed to tweak it, so it seems more like her power is going to be more like cosmic-y type, like Infinity Stone kind of a thing, which I'm not
Oh,
mad
okay.
about. But like, I guess people who are like diehard comic fans are like, "That's not the way it was in the comics." But they would have had to like introduce a whole new species for it to like be accurate. Yeah,
Yeah, I also
I
saw
didn't.
people like complaining about the look of her costume, but isn't she
Yeah,
supposed to be like influenced, like make her own costume be influenced
yeah,
by Captain Marvel?
yeah.
Like, why are
She's
the, I
like
don't know,
obsessed
people
with
are just
superheroes
judgy
and like.
over every single thing.
Yeah, and the whole point is she's supposed to be like she's a senior in high school. She's like the new Peter Parker, but like not really, but like kind of like she's also in high school. She's like a senior in high school who's like a little cosplay girl who like is obsessed with superheroes and like dreams about being one. Like all she does is fantasize about them. She's obsessed with them, and so her powers are kind of like a manifestation of her like fantasies. So like
Oh,
she's like
okay.
obsessed with like Ant-Man, and in the trailer she's like drawing all these like Ant-Man pictures, and so one of the like Ant-Man's powers is he can, like, embiggen and, like, get small. Mm-hmm. So, like, she has that. Then, like, she's obsessed with Captain Marvel, and Captain Marvel has this, like, cosmic energy burst things, and, like, yeah. her character has the same thing. So it seems like they're kind of going to go with, like, a something happens to her, and because of that, it, like, unlocks, makes all of her imagination, like, reality, I guess.
You know how in the trailer they showed kind of, like, comic type things being drawn on the on the people? Are they, is that, do you think that's, is that going to be used in the show, or was it just for show in the trailer? I wonder, because I feel like it would be kind of creative, but I feel like it could also get old easily.
Yeah, I could see them doing it as, like, the title sequence.
Yeah.
Or, like,
I wonder if it's gonna have a theme song. I miss theme songs.
Honestly, yeah. Like, shows don't do them songs. Now. They just do, like, a title card and then that's it.
Or they do, really like, instrumental music.
Yeah, but I miss, like, a Friends theme song. They're always, like, fun.
Same. Or, like, Disney Channel show theme songs.
Yeah, they went full out. They, like, 2010. Had full, yeah, they had, like, full sound. Like, full sound.
Or, like, even, like, old sitcoms, like you said, like, Friends, or even, like, Community. Like, Community has a theme song. Yeah.
That's true. It's so weird. But actually,
speaking of, like, because you were talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., today, which is March 16th, but tomorrow you'll be hearing this on March 17th, the Marvel Netflix shows just got released to Disney Plus today, meaning yes. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Daredevil, Jessica Jones, and Iron Fist, and, like, Luke Cage. They're all on Disney Plus now. S.H.I.E.L.D.
was already on Disney Plus, if I'm not mistaken, because it's not a Netflix show.
Oh, yeah, but all of the Daredevil, that type the stuff. The Netflix ones. And, like, the Defenders, which is, like, the show where all of the Marvel Netflix superheroes team up. That's also.
The Netflix Marvel Universe. And then they also announced that they're going to do a fourth season of Daredevil. I don't remember how many seasons there are out, but they're going to do a new season.
What confuses me, because obviously I haven't gotten that far. Like, I'm one season into Daredevil out of the three, meaning that I haven't watched Jessica Jones yet or the Defenders.
Yeah,
but I wonder if the spoiler alert for Spider-Man No Way Home, even if you haven't seen it, you're literally living under a rock, but I will give you this. If, like, Matt Murdock was in No Way Home, mm-hmm. I'm still wondering if that's the same person as the Netflix show, especially because they put them all on Disney Plus now. But, like, the same guy or not? Because they mentioned the characters in passing sometimes, like, they mentioned, like, the disaster of New York and stuff like that.
But they haven't.
But how will they, like, deal with stuff that wouldn't make sense? I guess they're kind of the underground, like, the ground level superheroes, so they could justify being like, well, they never teamed up because they're ground level.
Oh, yeah, I don't think they would have teamed up. Those, because they're all anti-heroes. They're all, like, heroes with. They're, like, they are not heroes that would have been, like, recruited to the Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
They definitely are kind of, like, more vigilante, less superhero, because, like, mm-hmm. a lot of the Marvel heroes, you know, they get, like, classified by, like, law enforcement as, like, Punisher, they're still heroes.
Punisher's not they're a all, person.
Yeah, they're all vigilantes. Even they just are called superheroes because they're in the Marvel universe, but I would, like, definitely classify them as, like, an Arrow type figure who's, like, vigilante, operates in the shadows.
Honestly, though, I'm kind of, all the features right now are also coming out from, like, Spider-Man No Way Home, like, all the extras, because the Blu-ray and the digital version is coming out, and I'm, like, I'm gonna force my dad to buy me it so I can just watch it whenever I want.
The Blu-ray CD.
I don't even have Blu-ray. I just need a DVD. I have a
DVD player.
I actually still have a VHS at home.
Oh, wow.
We didn't get rid of it, cool. Yeah.
For all you people thinking
that because I'm 18 that I never didn't grow up on VHS, I did, okay? I'm not that young.
Well, your sister probably had them. That's probably why you watched them.
I mean, my family was still using them when I grew up. I didn't know anything different.
Really? We always use CDs because my dad
we had a CD player after big. I was like 4 or something, but I remember using a VHS when I was like 2, 3, 4 years old. Yeah, like, no, I literally have video of me using them.
Yeah, we had one, like, in our house, because that was how my dad would, like, show home movies and stuff.
Yeah, same. Because
he was always, doing home movies and stuff. But I think we got rid of it when I was, like, probably 6 or 7, and we, like, fully got to DVDs. And my dad, like, converted all of our VHSs, like,
onto DVDs. Did he also burn them onto DVD?
Yeah.
Is that, like, just the dad's thing? Because I feel like all dads did that.
Yeah, no.
Burned all the home videos.
And then he converted all of our CDs into, like, digital. But before he did it, we literally used to have, like, these like metal like cases. We just have like 50 of them just filled with DVDs that my dad had like burned from VHS tapes.
We had those too. We still have those.
Yeah. My dad got I think he got rid of most of them after he
I still have a Wii player in my basement that we got in like 2007.
Yeah, my Wii is so old. It's in black and white now and the sound like doesn't work. But we and my sister still play it.
Really funny and kind of creepy.
Yeah. It's like really weird. It's we don't know how it got into black and white. It just like we turned it on during quarantine. Yeah, but we have like a PS3 in my house, and that's what we use to like watch DVDs and stuff. Like, because me and my sister's like dance recitals growing up were always on DVDs, so that was like the only thing we would use to watch
dance recitals. I remember those.
Yeah, it was our PS3. Yeah, me and my sister would play these like car driving video games because we were terrible at video games that weren't like Just Dance or like Xbox Kinect.
I miss Mario Kart. Did you have a little driver things that looked like a steering wheel to put your?
We would play like, and it was like literally just like a car racing game. Like it wasn't fun like Mario. It was literally just like your racing car. It was like my dad liked the game and then he got it and then me and my sister were like, that looks fun. But yeah, and then we got like a secondhand Xbox 360. Right when the Xbox One came out because it was cheap and it literally you can't like if you have a game in it for longer than 2 hours it just like crashes you have to like restart the whole thing and like unplug it. It's so annoying, but it was fun. During COVID me and my sister got really into like Xbox Kinect and like the like Just Dance. So fun. Just Dance entertained me and my sister so many days. Oh, so many play dates.
We had so many Just Dances at my house. I think we had like four or five of those.
Yeah, we have the ones. We have like two from before they named them after the years, and it was like Just Dance 1, Just Dance 2, Just Dance 3.
Or before it turned into like Just Dance 2013 or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, we have like Just Dance 4 and Just Dance 5. I think I have that too. Yeah, and they're like, I don't know, they're just
play all the One Direction songs.
It's so funny. The way they're animated is so funny, and like
sometimes they're really creepy. Like they're giving nightmares.
Yeah, because the motion capture was so bad.
No, literally. Okay, guys. So on Saturday, or maybe it was Sunday. I lied. I don't know if it was Saturday or Sunday. I have no idea. But the BAFTAs, which is like the British Academy Film Awards thing, which is like basically like the Oscars equivalent.
British Academy of Film and Television. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's like the Oscars equivalent of British television and film. Well, like sometimes they
yeah, it's their Oscars.
They get nominated, but yeah, exactly. And then they also had the Critics' Choice Award. I think it was the Critics' Choice Awards.
Yeah,
but it was the same evening, and a lot of people thought that somehow a bunch of celebrities got within the same like day from like London to like Los Angeles or something.
Confused.
But they didn't. It was they literally just had their own broadcast from London from all the people that went to the BAFTAs. But people were like, how did they do that? They couldn't have traveled that fast because they didn't.
I was so confused. I was like, because I saw like on Rachel Zelger's Instagram, she like went to
the Critics' Choice Awards or something.
But then she like, because she, what was it? It was like she gone, there was, she went with one of the guys from West Side
Story. Oh, she
went
with Mike Feist.
Yeah, because I think he was.
I love Mike Feist. He's so talented. No, he's not.
Maybe some. She was at both of them. Obviously not.
Well, she was like his date, but she wasn't nominated, which I think is insane that she wasn't nominated. But basically,
it was like,
Mike Feist was nominated
for.
So yeah, Mike Feist was nominated for Best Supporting Actor. He didn't win, but I think one of the actors from Coda did. I haven't seen Coda yet, and my dad actually canceled their Apple TV until Ted Lasso comes back, so that's fun. No, he
literally did. I found it. So she went to, I found what, because I like couldn't figure out, I was like, she was at both, because like it's literally on her Instagram that she's at both, but obviously like not at the same time, because there was like an American broadcast of like everyone who was in, I guess, like Los Angeles, and then there was also the people who were like physically in London.
Yeah,
so she
they
like,
had like,
went
their
to
own
the one
ceremony area.
Yeah, exactly. So she was at the BAFTAs.
Did you see Rachel Zegler's Vivian Westwood dress that she wore to the BAFTAs? I am literally in love.
So the blue one, oh my god, it's beautiful.
It fit her like a glove.
It was beautiful. I'm like trying to figure out how it was. Okay, so she was in London. She was in London at the BAFTAs, but when she was at the Critics' Choice Awards, she was like still in London.
Yeah. So yeah, they did their own broadcast.
Yes. Which is why like
Ariana DeBose
are like her in her house.
Ariana DeBose once again won for best supporting actress. I think she's got that Oscar in the bag. She has the Oscar in the bag.
Yeah.
If she doesn't, I'll be flabbergasted.
Oh, and did you see the whole controversy with like Jane Campion?
Oh, Jane Campion. Because she said that like Venus and Serena Williams don't have to like compete against men like her. And I was like, honey, you like what? Huh? Why? Yeah,
it was really weird. I was like, this was such an out of pocket, like random thing for her to say. And yeah, basically.
When she literally probably planned the joke too, and she probably like she's gonna be so funny.
For context, Jane Campion is the director of the film The Power of the Dog, which is like nominated for a lot of Oscars, a lot of awards, like it's really, a lot really of good. Prestige Benedict Cumberbatch. Season. Yeah. And then Venus and Serena Williams also have a film that's about their life called King Richard. And so they have been like at all the awards as well. So Jane Campion like won an award, or she was like doing an interview with a magazine or something. And she was like
this director.
Yeah, well, that was at the BAFTAs when she apologized, but she like said it.
She apologized?
Yeah.
I didn't even see that part.
She said it in an interview a couple days earlier or something, and because she was asked about like what it was like being, because she's a lot like she's older, like probably in her 60s, and it was like, what was it like, you know, starting out as a female director, whatever, like the hardships you endured, whatever. And then she just like was talking about how, you know, Venus and Serena Williams, because their film is also coming out around the same time as theirs. She was like, yeah, no, like it's been harder for me because I'm in a male dominated industry where they play against other women, and they're not in like a male dominated industry, which is like fully false. And also they're like two women of color who have had to like fight. If she even, I mean, I hope Jane Campion actually watched King Richard, because that whole film is literally talking about how hard it was for them, mm-hmm. and how much work they put in to become as talented as they are. And so, and then at the BAFTA, she won Best Director, and she apologized for it. She was like, I'm so sorry. Like, I should never have equated, blah, blah, blah. But
it's also sad because earlier in the week, or like 2 weeks ago, basically, I think it was Sam Elliott who said this, who's like an actor, whatever. He was saying that, mm-hmm. like, she went on this homophobic rant about The Power of the Dog, and then like Jane Campion kind of shut him down in an interview, and people were like, oh yeah, stan her. So it's sad that like in the same like week or two she said something kind of problematic.
Yeah.
Well, like also, you know, people were like proud of her for like being like, yeah, don't this white like homophobic man cannot say this when he's, and it's, I don't know, he was like, she doesn't know anything about like the Wild West or something like that. And then he went on a homophobic rant. I don't even know.
Yeah, I saw that, because people were like, it was like a very just like out of pocket, because she had seemingly like been
super like the film.
Sorry. Like, you know, it's just like one of those things where it's like minorities putting other minorities down, which is like so frustrating. Like, she's a woman, but she's also a white woman.
Yeah.
So to see her like belittle Venus and Serena, it's just like, oh, I just put a bad taste in my mouth. And like, I'm glad she apologized, but from what I read,
she shouldn't have said it all. Like, it was too little, too late. Shouldn't have even crossed her mind.
Exactly. Like, she shouldn't have had to apologize, because she shouldn't have said it in the first place.
Also, did you see that Rachel Zegler met Lady Gaga, and she was talking about how important she was to her life? And I was like, oh, that's so cute. Oh,
it's so cute. Yeah, I love her just like meeting all these Hollywood celebrities and being like, this is my dream. And I'm like, yes, I'm so excited.
She's like shooting Snow White right now. And, yeah. Oh my God, that's we literally same thought. I'm very excited
to see what she brings to it. And
do you think there's gonna be any original songs put in it?
I don't know if they're gonna write
like they did for Aladdin.
I don't know, because I'm trying to think, because like Beauty and the Beast they didn't, Cinderella they didn't, and I know those did a lot better than Aladdin.
They better not auto-tune Rachel's voice like they did Emma Watson's.
Yeah, I don't know. Actually, I mean, look, it's Disney, so who knows? They kind of
Disney
like,
Plus, like,
this.
Or not Disney Plus, but Disney like was one of the producers on West Side Story, and her voice wasn't too out of tune.
Yeah, so I think it'll just be like, we'll have to wait and see what happens. I hope they don't, because her voice is like, I think she has, I like, not to belittle her acting abilities, I think she's a very talented actor, but I think her singing voice is what makes her such a brilliant actor, in that like the emotion that she's able to portray with her singing voice is like unlike anything I've ever seen before from an actor, especially one who's like our age. Like, and don't get me wrong, she's still a very talented actress, but I think her singing voice just like elevates her performance so much.
Yeah.
When a lot of actors, it can like hinder their performance and kind of
Because you can be so focused on the singing that you forget to act.
Exactly. But she's such
especially
so
like
good at
at the end of West Side Story during Tony's death scene when she's like, "You're the only thing I'll see." Like her, yeah, her like also, acting in that specific scene was insane.
Literally 100 years.
Yeah, and the Broadway musical like literally premiered in 1957. Yeah. So don't get mad at us, okay?
And it was a book first from like the fucking like freaking sorry.
This is what we do. We say the word, but then we draw attention to ourselves, making it worse.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's, like, literally it's literally over a 100-year-old book, so, yeah.
No, I literally loved West Side Story so much. Steven Spielberg did an amazing job. This is, Steven Spielberg, you're never gonna hear this, but please put me in a movie.
I don't even need to be acting in it. Put me in Craft Services.
No, literally, let me just stand near you while you like do your thing and I'll be content. I'll be content for life.
Yeah.
Turns into a petition for Steven Spielberg to notice us. No.
Yeah. Okay, going back to Snow White though and Rachel Zegler. I am very interested because we don't know who's playing the prince because there was another
I thought we did.
Cast. No, he's not. Isn't it Anthony Ramos was also cast? He's not playing the
what?
Prince.
What?
Someone was cast.
See, this is my problem with men. Men will cheat on women, and, like, Hollywood will still cast them in roles. Meanwhile, like, a woman does,
I feel like he was probably cast before.
No, I know, but I feel like there's, like, such a double standard when it comes to, like, relationships in Hollywood. Like, for example, like, with Harry Styles and Olivia Wilde, we don't actually know what happened literally between anything. That and Jason Sudeikis, and then people are like, Olivia left Jason Sudeikis for Harry Styles. I'm like, you don't know that. Meanwhile, there's literally footage of Anthony Ramos cheating on his fiance, and he still gets roles. It kind of pisses me off.
Okay, I fully got it wrong. I don't know why I said Anthony Ramos. That's fully false. It's Andrew Belknap was cast
I was like, he's old. What he can cast us in that?
Well, no, because they haven't. There's literally only been three people cast. Rachel Zegler,
but we don't know what he's cast as.
Yeah, he's cast as.
Oh my god, I fully forgot that Gal Gadot is in that movie.
Yeah, I think she'll be a really good evil queen. Though.
Petition for her to say the champagne. What's the line? And enough champagne to fill the Nile. Let's put that in the movie too.
I still need to see that movie.
I just seen that scene.
Yeah, so they released him, like, Andrew Belknap. He's like a Broadway actor, like he hasn't really been in much film, which I like. I love when they cast like in musicals.
Yeah, literally Broadway they cast actors. So many newsies from the Broadway musical to be in West Side Story, and like two guys I saw, a few guys from Mean Girls, like literally who I saw on stage when I went to see Mean Girls in 2018 were in West Side Story, which was kind of cool. Like Ben Cook, I love him so much.
But anyways, yeah, so they cast him as, like, they said that he's a character named Jonathan who's not the prince. They were like, he's not playing the prince, he's playing somebody else, which is a new character that hasn't been in, like, isn't originally in Snow White. He's someone new. But they haven't.
Is there gonna be a prince or no?
I don't know.
Like, I don't think she needs a prince. She needs someone to tell her not to eat the apple, or she needs to not eat the apple.
If I'm being honest, the prince doesn't really do anything. He literally
kisses her without consent while she's sleeping.
I feel like the story is more interesting if it's just like Snow White and the Evil Queen, to be honest. Like their dynamic is like more interesting than like the love story part.
I hope they don't pull a Maleficent. Not that I didn't like the Maleficent movie, but remember when the True Love's Kiss was like Maleficent kissing her on the forehead?
Oh yeah, that was weird.
I don't need that to happen again.
I feel like they just don't.
Stop giving villains like redemption arc movies. And I really liked Cruella, but why did it need to be made? It's like its own cinematic universe. Redemption villain movies.
I am a fan of a villain. I love a good anti-hero. I love a good villain redemption arc, but it depends on the villain. I like.
But you can love a character who's literally not a good person because they're entertaining.
Yeah, but I mean, I've only seen the first Maleficent, I haven't seen the second one, and to be honest, I kind of liked it. I mean, I did get a bit frustrated at times when they were making Maleficent, like, a little bit too sympathetic, and I was like, okay, but, like, she's still, like, a mass murderer, kind of, so, like, why are we trying to redeem her? But I do enjoy watching, villains be I like when over-the-top cartoony villains, when, like, I don't like when over-the-top cartoony villains get redemption arcs, when it's like, okay, this character has no depth, why are you trying to redeem them? But I do enjoy when films just like give you more insight into a villain and who they are not. Mm-hmm. There's like a very fine line between making a well-rounded villain and like showing the audience why they are the way they are, and giving them like and justifying what they're doing, you know?
Because honestly, like, and that's the reason why I'm interested. Mm-hmm. I guess, like, technically Wicked, like, used this, it is her redemption arc because it's from her side of the story. But I am interested to see how, like, Wicked, like, is adapted to the screen.
Yeah, because I think it's one of my favorite, like, not even, like, villain origin stories. Because, like, at the end of the day, Elphaba is only a villain because she was essentially told that that was all she was going to be. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? But that doesn't mean that, like, when I watch it, I'm not like, oh, she's a good person. I'm like, she did horrible things, but I do understand why she did them. But that doesn't negate from the fact that she still did them, which I think mm-hmm. is, like, very important for films. But a lot of the time, they can get caught up in this, like, making of villain really sympathetic. And then you kind of are watching it and you're like, okay, this is, like, I don't really want to, like, root for the villain. Like, this is making me so uncomfortable. These are literally such bad people. Like, did you just forget that they, like, killed all these people?
Well, it's interesting that you say that, because in the case of not, like, Disney, but in the case of, like, Loki, per se, it mm-hmm. could go both ways, because you could also say that Loki, you know, did all that stuff, like, in New York because he was mind-controlled, mm-hmm. because there is proof that he was, but it was also still him, so, like, but at the end of the day, I'm not, like, justifying things, but a lot of people are fictional characters, and also, you can love to hate people. That's a lot. That's a thing with a lot of characters, to love to hate a battling character. So,
and I do think Loki is a character who has faced a lot of, like, who has dealt with a lot of consequences of his actions. I mean, the entire Loki series was basically him exploring and being punished and through the consequences of his actions. And at the end of the day, yes, he grew as a person. But I don't think he is necessarily, like, in the way that he's been written now, been, like, forgiven of all his crimes, because he mm-hmm. still is, he's shown that he has changed and that he can make different decisions now.
It bothers me when people are like they ruin Loki's character, like, but this is not the same Loki that you saw in Ragnarok. It's exactly. Loki from right after the Battle of New York.
Exactly. So it's like you're watching someone who is a villain go through a very, very, like, it's a very slow kind of, like, because he doesn't do a 180 flip. He doesn't, like, all of a sudden, oh, he's a good guy. Like, he's still not a good person, even in the end. Like, he still has a lot of the same
habits. A lot of flaws,
A lot of flaws. He's just lived more, he's been in so many unique circumstances that have called into question his idea of good and evil, which has kind of made him understand, and the audience, that there's a bit of a gray area. And I think the Loki now would not make the same decisions as the Loki before the Loki show, you know what I mean?
Like, I agree.
Even the Loki from the first one, I think they're very different people while still being the same at the core. I don't know. I love a good villain arc, but I also love a good hero. But I don't. Me hate too. When you're really cartoony. Hence why I don't like Captain America. Sorry. It's just
also this is a complete 180 from what we were talking about. But I actually saw in an article yesterday that Yolanda Hadid let Bella Hadid get a nose job at 14 years old.
Oh my god, that's really sad. That's like that should be illegal.
Shouldn't it be illegal? And it's not even necessarily about, like, even if she was like, you have to let me. A mother or a parent in general should never let their child change their face before they're even done developing. I don't care if she begged her ass off for it. Yolanda Hadid let her get one. It was under her, you know, she was a minor, so she had to sign off on it, and she let her daughter get that. And also, there's literally proof of her giving her daughters eating disorders because she literally told them to. She literally has no redeemable, like, characteristics.
Like, not to justify Zayn's actions against Yolanda Hadid, but I do understand.
Oh my god. I was about to say about the Zayn thing, because Yolanda Hadid said that, or Hadid, I still don't know how to pronounce it, sorry, that Zayn, you know, she said that Zayn, like, struck her or pushed her. But my problem with the situation is that I'm not justifying what he did, but it is really sketchy that she went to the tabloids before she even filed a police report, meaning that she obviously wanted attention whether it happened or not.
Exactly.
And what does struck mean? Does that mean he nudged her and she's saying it was assault? And again, I'm not justifying, but I'm I'm not trying to justify, but I will say that it is kind of sketchy that she literally went to the tabloids before filing a police report, meaning that she wanted attention.
Yeah.
Like, no one else would do that. Well, I mean, other people, you know what I mean? But, like, no rational person would do that if they actually felt threatened.
It's like, it just, to me, especially with the amount of times that that woman has gone to the tabloids about personal details of her children's lives, like, the fact that she literally told the tabloids that Gigi was pregnant when she was trying to, like, not have media attention.
Hide her pregnancy,
Is, like, it just shows, like, how.
And didn't she leak a picture of her child to the internet or put a,
before her or Zane even had a chance to. And so it's, like, the fact that they grew up with such a toxic mother and they still are, like, in, like, have a relationship with her is, shows a lot about their dedication to family, because I know, like, even their dad is, like, apparently also, like, not a nice person.
Yeah, he seems very, like, the things he's done on the internet, like, on the internet, when, or like, there's always been those big articles on, like, Daily Mail about him not, about some kind of property that he had, and he, like, wouldn't pay people for it. Like, the things he's done seem kind of scummy, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it doesn't seem like their parents are the best people in the world. And I understand, like, family, you love people. But there's literally proof of Yolanda telling Gigi that she can only have, like, a minuscule piece of cake. Because apparently she's going to gain, like, 20 pounds by having a tiny piece of, by having, like, more than a sliver of cake. Gigi said she was going to faint and her mom told her to have an almond. Like, that's so unhealthy and that's so, like, damaging.
Yeah, and I know, like, it's just their whole the lifestyle that they grew up in is really, like, it's really concerning. And the fact that both of them went into modeling, another really, really toxic environment, is, like, I don't know how those two do it. I feel like that is, like, a lot of really toxic environments. And there was this other thing, my sister was, like, watching the, because I think their mom was in, like, Real Housewives or something.
Yeah, she was. I think that's how they got, like,
yeah. And her mom, like, there was a whole episode where Gigi wanted to play volleyball, and her mom said, like, that she was a lesbian. You can't play volleyball because you're gonna look too muscular and then people are gonna think you're a lesbian. And she was like, you can't wear those,
so outfits. Homophobic.
And it's like, I'm sorry, you're, like, she was in, like, high school or middle school. Like, let this child play volleyball if she wants to. I was like, this is a, like, a, this is a not a, this is a horrible person.
Yeah, also, speaking of people like the Hadids, recently there was a video or, like, an interview of, like, the Kardashians that came out, and Kim Kardashian said, I'll say frickin' instead of the full F word, but she said, you know, like, these days women don't want to work, get your effing ass up and work. That's very, I'm not, like, I can't take that statement from someone like her. Like, she would have had her entire life made without working and she would have been fine. Like, it's very tone deaf statement to hear that coming from somebody that's literally a millionaire, and, like, her dad was literally, like, a lawyer on, like, the OJ trial, and technically her name really got out of the media because she made a sex tape with someone, and that's how the family got popular again. So yep. I don't need a statement that women don't want to work these days coming from someone who got everything handed to her.
Exactly. And the way she's like, oh, if only people started working, then they could be like me, is so just, like, blatantly. There's not even, like, the fact that she grew up with so much privilege, so it was so easy for her, but she doesn't understand the, like, how hard it is for someone who grows up. Let's say someone is, you know, grew up in poverty. It is so hard to break that cycle, and it is like they have to work 37 times harder than every other middle class, upper class person to be able to have a fraction of the success that someone like Kim Kardashian has. And they'll, like, to think that she's like, oh no, they're just lazy. If they just worked hard, then they would not be in poverty.
Yeah. And in, like, the background, Courtney was like, that's so true. It wasn't Courtney crying about how she didn't want to be on Keeping Up with the Kardashians anymore because it was too hard.
Yeah, like, I'm sorry.
Too hard being filmed and making money by doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
And also, I'm not saying that it's not respectable that, like, the women in the Kardashian family are obviously, like, some of them at least, did build an empire and made huge businesses. But the fact, like, the reality is they would not have been able to build those empires had they had not had the resources to do that, because they were already
famous
and already had the money to do so. People put money into businesses hoping that they won't lose everything to start something. And a lot of the time those businesses don't work out. Even if their businesses didn't work out, they would have been fine for the rest of their lives. And it's very tone deaf to be like, women don't want to work these, like, people are lazy, women don't want to, like, they do want to work, but it's 10 times harder for someone who didn't, doesn't come from a family like that to get money.
Also, the way that she's, like, working equals, like, financial success, like, she doesn't realize that just because someone isn't a multi-mega millionaire doesn't mean they are not successful in their own life. Someone, like, it's the way that she was, like, you are, like, the only way that you can accomplish anything is if you gain monetary success. And she's, like, equating the fact that she is wealthy to the fact that she's successful. But there are people who are successful in their life and aren't making, like, millions. Like, teachers. If they're successful, like, I would say, like, a lot of my teachers in high school were, like, amazing, brilliant teachers who, like, taught me a lot of things I still use today. And I would say they are very successful in their jobs. They're not making millions of dollars. Especially if they're
happy with what they're doing.
Exactly. And they're not making millions of dollars. And in Kim Kardashian's eyes, they are not successful, because she thinks that, you know, everyone who is not making bajillion millions of dollars must be lazy. But it's like, no, some people just have different measures of success. And also, money doesn't always make you feel accomplished or successful. Mm-hmm. Like, there are other things in life. There are people who don't have jobs, they're stay-at-home moms, they are just as successful in their life as someone who works a 9-to-5. Like, this, it's just such a narrow view. Or the fact that,
like,
that
she's learning law, like, yes, good for her,
but she's literally skipping so many steps.
she would not have had the opportunity to do something like that had she not been Kim Kardashian.
Exactly. Like, the way that she's not going to law school. She's doing this, like, weird clinical type of, like, co-op-like thing where she's, like, working in a law office while simultaneously studying. And it's, like, this weird, like, thing that I didn't even know existed, and probably wouldn't have existed had she not been Kim Kardashian and had the money and the ability to fund her weird law, like, education, which
exactly, I mean, it's not a problem to say that people should want to work, but the problem is when it comes from someone like Kim Kardashian,
who barely
has worked. Everything she needs and will not, like,
exactly,
she had enough money for the rest of her life years ago, and she's been making more and more and more.
The entire Kardashian family before Keeping Up with the Kardashians had enough money to never work again. They're like Khloe,
Courtney.
Their father was, like, a very, very successful lawyer. Like, they were already upper 1%. Then when Chris married now Caitlyn, she was, like, a very successful Olympian. And again, they did not need to work. They were set for life already. And then they got this show, and that just, like, skyrocketed. Like, they have been born into generational wealth, which has given them this, like, skewed view of the world that somehow they worked harder than everybody else and that's why they're successful, when in reality,
I agree. And sometimes, obviously, having your life exploited might be tiring sometimes, but I don't need to hear that you're, like, crying about being on a show that you get paid to literally just walk around and talk to people and do absolutely nothing of substance.
Also, like, they complained about that, then the show ended, then
they created a new show.
So I'm like, clearly it wasn't that detrimental to you, otherwise you would have just stopped, because they don't need to be continuing these shows. They have enough money. They probably ended the show because they weren't
getting the money they wanted from the network, because they probably had a long contract, and they knew that Hulu and, like, Disney Plus and whatever were going to pay them more, so they probably just ended it so they could start a new contract that had even more money involved.
Like, all of them could have quit their jobs the second season of Keeping Up with the Kardashians, but they didn't. And look, so, like, Rob, their brother, he is, like, barely in the shows. And he seems to be living a more, even though I have no idea what he does for a job, he seems to be living fine, but, like, he's not, like, strapped for cash. you know, all of them, if they wanted to leave, they could have and they would have been fine. Yet they chose to keep going, which is why I have no sympathy for them when they complain, because if they want to leave, they can. They're not, they have the money to afford a lawyer that can negotiate them out of a contract. Like, they, there's no reason for them to be doing something that makes them unhappy, because they have the wealth and the connections to do literally whatever they want.
Ever they want, like, literally.
Like, anything they want, they can have. Which is very terrifying that there are people in this world who literally can breathe and millions of dollars fall into their lap.
Literally, just falling from the skies, honestly. Also, going back to movies, because obviously that's what talk about day and night, right?
Yes.
So there's a new movie called Challengers, which is about to start filming, that has Zendaya, Mike Feist, and Josh O'Connor. And I'm very excited for this. I think it's like a tennis rom-com type thing, like, because apparently, like, Mike Feist and Zendaya's characters are married, and Josh O'Connor is like her ex.
Yeah,
and Josh O'Connor played Prince Charles in the Crown, and Mike Feist just played Riff in West Side Story. If you don't know what, like, the roles that they're, like, known for, but I'm really excited for this because first of all, like, I love what actors that I really like work together. And I don't know, I'm just excited when I hear about new movies that seem to have an interesting concept. I also heard that My Policeman, which is a film starring Harry Styles and Emma Corrin, who was also in The Crown, who played Princess Diana, there's rumors that it's going to be going straight to streaming Amazon Prime next month, in April. And I read the book, guys. You need to read the book. It's a really, really well-written book. And I'm excited for that. There's just, like the thing I love about the films is that, good or bad, they never stop coming, so there's always things to watch.
Yeah,
I don't know, I'm exactly. Just always looking forward to watching a good movie. I have not seen The Batman yet, so I'm sorry, we have, like, I maybe someday Amy can do her own segment on The Batman, because I have not seen it yet, but I really want to. I heard it was great.
Yeah, it was very good. Like, I yeah, no, it was very good. One of my favorite superhero films, like, honestly. Like, it was very well done. It was very unique. Yeah, I can't wait to see what that universe... I don't want to spoil too much because Maya hasn't seen it. But I'll just say, I cannot wait to see how this universe expands, because the tone is so different. But it's not, like, over the top. Like, it just... It was a very good balance. And it was also the first time I didn't cringe every time a Batman spoke. Like, Robert Pattinson was very
good. How's his accent in the movie?
It was pretty good. Like, I think, obviously, like,
is he emo?
The Batmans,
I saw all, about, like, the eyeliner.
Yeah. Like, every time the Batman is, like, being Batman and is, like, blah, 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 it, like, obviously sounds a little bit like, blah, but, I mean, he was one of the best ones I've heard.
I've never seen any of the Michael Keaton Batmans, but I heard that he's going to be in the Batgirl movie, which is for HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
So the DC universe, like, confuses me sometimes, because I never know what's its own universe and what's along with, like, the main, what they're doing. And I guess that's good for, like, possibilities, because now with Marvel, everything needs to be ingrained into this thing. But the good thing about the multiverse in Marvel is that now there can be something from any universe opening a lot of other possibilities, where, like, characters don't have to interact because it's a completely different universe, which is smart, because obviously a lot of characters are recently either, like, retired or killed off in Marvel. But, like, yeah, DC just, it confuses me, because I don't know what's a part of what, because obviously there's been, like, so many different Batmans. I mean, there's been different Spider-Mans in Marvel too, but I don't know, the whole DC thing confuses me sometimes.
Yeah. Yes. It's very confusing, these superhero universes.
I heard that Michelle Pfeiffer, like, when she played Catwoman, she had to be vacuum sealed into her costume, and it was, like, hard for her to breathe, which sounds horrible. You know, speaking of female character costumes and superhero movies, it has always bothered me the amount of times, like, the female characters have been asked in interviews, like, what they were wearing under, their workout, like, routine and whatever, when the guys are never asked that. It's like, why are you so interested in what a woman has to do to get into shape for her role, or what she's wearing under the costume because it's tight. It's so sexist, and it grosses me out, because I've seen it happen to so many different women in interviews who were in superhero movies.
No, 100%. Like, I Yeah, there were some times where like Zoe Kravitz's character, I felt like she was a bit overly sexualized.
Yeah, even when the trailer came out for the Batman, I'm gonna be honest, I was like, oh, that's a very sexualized character. But I hope she had some more substance,
because she definitely had a lot of substance, and she was definitely like, I think she was definitely well written, definitely a step up from previous iterations of Catwoman. Yeah, I think she also had a lot more purpose in the film aside from just being like a love interest. Like, I would not even call her a love interest. Like, I wouldn't even call this like, oh, they have like, yeah, there's like romantic tension, but I would honestly say that that she holds her own as an independent character.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, I think we've covered a lot this week, and I think it's time to say bye-bye.
Yes, I think time is up.
We can never end one of these things normally.
I hope y'all enjoyed.
Thanks for listening to Highly Caffeinated. Yes.
Yes. We will see you next week. Bye.